Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Second hour of the Mark Bearden Show on a Friday afternoon. Jay Duker is hanging out. We'll have a little bit of fun, a little bit of serious stuff this hour. We have number one songs right into an audio cut of the day. And Jane Dan Reardon, our resident golf expert, no relation, is with us this afternoon for a couple of reasons. The FedEx Championship continues with the BMW Championship. And also, there's this really cool story about Tiger Woods and his golf course. And Dan, I think a lot of people might be surprised that Tiger Woods designed a golf course right here in Missouri, right?
Yeah, but you know, it's if you take a billionaire and you put a little hunting and fishing into that, and you have a golfer who loved to fish most of his life, Johnny Morris and Tiger Woods are a good fit, and they are going to debut this brand new golf course. And give credit to Johnny Morris. When he opens a golf course, he knows how to open a golf course.
Cool. So this is something. Is it? I mean, I was just down there and I played Branson Hills last week, but this is on the Big Cedar property.
This is correct. It's on the Big Cedar property. For people that have been down there, and I was there a couple of years ago, and they were roughing the course in. There used to be a golf course in that area called Murder Rock, and that was a John Daly course.
Right, John Daly's course, yeah.
And Ozark National, which is now open, and the Paynes Valley, which is about to open, are using some of that same property to create two new 18-hole facilities. And for Tiger, this will be the first public golf course that he's designed in his short design career. And as I said, they launched this with a display like you couldn't imagine, because it's Tiger Woods, it's Justin Thomas, it's Rory McIlroy, and it's Justin Rose playing a match play format, sort of a mini Ryder Cup kind of format to open the golf course.
That's great.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So this is good. When is that going to take place? And it will be televised, right?
It will be televised live on the Golf Channel. In fact, they are expecting this thing to be such a hot property, they're going to televise it again in December, okay? But it will be live on the Golf Channel. It's September 22nd. The easiest way to locate it in terms of time, it's 2 days after the final round of the U.S. Open. So there's a good likelihood that you could even have a U.S. Open champion out of those four participants. Now, the bad news is, there will be no galleries for this event. There will be no spectators allowed, and I'm assuming there's no media access as well. But nonetheless, the television coverage, and the way I get the feeling, this is going to be largely the players. They're all going to be mic'd up, and they had the success of the two exhibitions they ran before the season opened up in professional golf. And I think they're going to rely very, very heavily on these four players talking their way through it. You know, Justin Thomas did a great job of doing color on that Tiger match play format. And Rory was very good as well. And Tiger has shown the only person they're missing from that mix is Mickelson, but he's already gone through Branson and collected a check.
Yeah. Well, Branson, the Gulf Central.
I really was enjoying my round down there at Branson Hills, and I want to go down and play a little bit more, Dan. We were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. Let's talk about the BMW Championship, because, and just to make sure that everyone's clear on this, this isn't, and maybe I'm not even clear on this, but you got the top 70 in the point standing for the FedEx Cup in this tournament. Is it true there's not going to be a cut today, right? These players will play through, and then what is it, the top 35 or top 30 that move on?
The top 30 will move on to the Tour Championship. There is no cut halfway through on this field, because with 70 players, they can comfortably get them in. I don't think they teed off before noontime today, so they can comfortably get the field in. There's no need for a cut. And right now, Rory McIlroy, who we just talked about, is leading that championship at 3 under par. They've got all they want at Olympia Fields right now. That course is chewing on the field a lot. You know, these are the top 70 players on the PGA Tour. so far this year, and I counted four players who were in double digits over par halfway through today's round.
Well, it's a beautiful golf course up there. I was not familiar. Olympia Fields, that's south of the city of Chicago?
Yeah, it's very close to the Indiana border. I covered the U.S. Open there when Jim Furyk won. It's very, very, very southeast. And like I said, very close to the Indiana border. And like I said,
all right, Dan Reardon.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Dan.
No, as I said, that lead has changed now. We have Rory McIlroy a stroke out of the lead. But the thing at the Ozarks is a great sell on what is a great destination now. It's a little high end for some people's taste, but that is a good place to go if you want to play high end golf. And Johnny Morris has put it all together extremely well.
It is beautiful down there. Dan, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. BMW Championship going on right now. It's 3:10. Jane hanging out here. We're going to talk, during the roundtable, we talked a little bit about virtual schools, and Andy Banker is going to join us a little bit here in this half hour to talk about a story that he did about all of this at Fox 2 with a kid at Eureka School. So we'll relate that here in a couple of minutes. I'm just so glad to have my life back on track this week because it was a rough week. It took me like 6-7 full days just to sort of recover from that, Jane.
While you were doing this virtual stuff, right, with Alexa?
Well, no, I got lucky on that because, it was last week. So school started on Monday. So kindergarten started on Monday. And all of this took place last week. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that. I really was. What if it was the same week where we were this knocked down with illness? And, that's going to come into play with parents just with work and trying to get these kids schooled. I'm just hearing so many. I know we got to be a little patient here. It's only the first week. There's going to be adjustments made. They have to make some calls on the fly. But there's a lot of frustration. You think about the boiling point that we're at in this country when it comes to schooling and with COVID and with politics and just the chaos. Yep. It's just palpable right now. Then we have sports that sort of, this is where I think some people are disappointed. Sports are supposed to entertain us. Sports gets into politics. That turns a lot of people off. I mean, I see people left and right on Twitter. I don't know if I believe them. I'm never watching the Major League Baseball again or never watching the NFL again or whatever the case may be. I mean, I'm a sports fan, so I'm watching.
Yep.
I'm disappointed in some of the actions, but I'm not going to boycott the whole thing.
Right. And I think this is unfortunately a reflection of the times. But I will tell you, my daughter's a senior in high school, and she's not loving it. It's hard. It's really hard to do this. They feel isolated, and they feel isolated from each other. Now, there is some sports going on with the high schools, not in St. Louis County. And they're really hoping to get to a hybrid situation where they go to school a couple days and then stay home a couple days just to break it up. But I, when you have to sit in your room or sit in a room for 8 hours, or however many hours it is and watch computer classes, it's enough to make you buggy. I mean, I don't know adults that could do it. I don't know why we would expect that from our kids. And the younger kids at her school are going to school, presumably because of the hard impact it has on parents. So the older kids are staying home. The younger kids are going to school. I don't know that I was all in on the psychological effects of this until recently. And now I'm sort of getting it. Kids are, and I think they're going to rebel. And they are rebelling. Let's face it. You're seeing spikes in cases with teenagers because they're about done with this distancing.
Yeah,
and they're
right.
And they're gonna
right.
And there's only so much you can do to prevent it, So yeah, I agree.
Well, I want to talk about that here in just a second because Andy's gonna share this story and then I have a couple of my own from this week as well. And it's just even hard. I'm trying to do my best because my little girl is devastated and she's crying and she's acting out a little bit, but you have to be understanding for what they're going through. And let me shift just briefly before I take the break and then Andy's gonna come on and share that story. But the Mizzou, Columbia today, they decided, I just saw this right before we did the roundtable, they're closing bars at 10 p.m. in Columbia, Missouri. So, Jane, as you know, college students don't go to bars before. I used to work in a bar. There's no bar going until after probably 10:30 or 11 p.m. So what do you think these kids are going to do if they're not going to be at bars? They're going
to
do something.
Gonna go to
they're not just
going to
be locked in their right. They're not going to be all locked right. in their dorm rooms because the bars are closed. They simply aren't going to do that. So
they will
I don't know. Yeah, and I think you're right about the rebellion. I just don't know where the rebellion takes us at this point. You know, there's more and more reporting. There's a story, I think, in the Washington Post or LA Times today about how these younger kids still, preschool kids in particular, are not getting this. The stats, when you look at the younger kids, again, I understand that there's this fear of bringing it home to grandpa and mom and dad. But what happens, Jane, when, let's say a month from now, what are the Rockwoods, my school district, the Parkways, the school districts that have gone virtual going to say if there's not this big explosion from the Catholic school and the private schools having in-person classrooms?
Oh, well, I think it's going to be harder and harder. Look, in my mind, I think the St. Louis County districts were bullied into going, you know, were bullied into going all virtual. I think Paige put that out there. I think it was an election ploy. And I think these poor schools were bullied. Now, my daughter's school, she was walking by when I was talking about it. And she just texted me and said, we're going back on the 8th. So at least they are making a very quick effort to get the girls back. She goes to a girls' school, you know, get them back on the 8th. And I think there was a lot of overreaction at one time. But when a county official says this is dangerous, schools worried about they get worried about being sued. So then they think, right, oh, we have to do this. And, you know, so I'm hoping the schools, I'm hoping the Catholic schools will do it well, and the private schools, so that the public schools can say, okay, we can figure out a way to do this.
Jane Duker hanging with me in this hour. Andy Banker from Fox is Fox 2 is going to join me in the next hour, or in the next segment, the next hour, the next segment, talking about the challenges that the kids are having. He did a story just a couple of nights ago on that. We have an audio cut of the day before the hour is up. Also, our number one songs, This Day in History.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
All right, welcome back. 3:20. I have been a kindergarten teacher part-time this week, Jane Duker, for my daughter. She has been on. It's so funny to hear a five-year-old say, hey, what time is my Zoom call?
Oh,
and then she signs in, and she's so excited, and she knows how to mute and unmute herself now, and she just gets all excited. And then when the call... Dave, did you say that in my ear or on the air? I think it was just in my ear. Okay, you got to say it on the air. So I'm saying that, and Dave Klein, Jane, says, when I say on the air just a minute ago, she knows how to mute and unmute herself. Dave says...
Better than Jane sometimes.
True.
That made me laugh. Okay.
That is true. Anyway. Is better.
But so the Zoom call ends, and then she's like, wait a second, I want to be with my friends. And then, of course, you know, last night I'm going through some of the modules. They have this system called Canvas, which is actually, I think there's a lot of good things about it, but it's not working properly. And we had some technological issues, but they do it weird because the teacher, and her teacher's fantastic, by the way. Really, really good. They put these lessons in, and then if you can't get the lessons on the day of, they go to past lessons. Well, they're all in reverse, and it doesn't show you what you've watched. So if you've watched something, for example, like say you go to a website, you read an article, you know how sometimes it shows you that you've read it before because of the different, you know, color of yeah, right. So in this
Google
case, you can watch these modules and you can't tell. It doesn't give you a check mark or it doesn't tell you what you've watched. So there's a lot of complicated challenges. I feel very fortunate that, you know, I'm a parent of a kindergarten kid, because I guess in my mind I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be rough. It's rough, but she's in kindergarten. I feel like she's already ahead. But how do you do it for first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th? Andy Banker did a story that made an impression, I know, on a lot of people from Fox 2 the other night. I saw this, and we were off yesterday because of baseball, Andrew. I would have had you on yesterday, but it focused on a kid in Eureka. First of all, Andy Banker, how are you? Welcome to the show this afternoon.
Hey, doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good. Glad to be with you.
This story, and this is representative, I think, of what a lot of parents have seen this week with their kids. You know, and in fairness, I said this a couple of times, I think there are a lot of teachers that are also going through some tears because they're frustrated. But what did you find out at this situation in Eureka?
Well, you know, I was mostly stunned by the feedback and the nerve that this touched, and you know, I've been hearing from people around the country as the story got picked up and shared so much. This is just a kid in fifth grade, elementary school, and he's a good student. A friend told me he was genius level. And his struggles day one in the Rockwood School District were extreme. He just expected, you know, he was excited about getting back to school, and then he couldn't log on, and just had problem after problem and worried about missing class. There's no real direct feedback from the teacher. He was just a little lost, and they were going back with a full day of instruction first day, and he, according to his mother, and just fighting that computer with his mountain stack of books in front of him. She said it was all he could handle, and she was working from home, and one moment she saw him in the kitchen struggling and consoled him and talked to him. The next minute she looked back and he was gone, and she walked up to his bedroom and he was in there, and she could hear him crying through the door. And before she went in, she let him cry it out a little bit, but she took a video and posted it on Facebook. And this is how I became aware. Someone flagged me to that and said, this is so heartbreaking. I didn't know if you'd seen this. And I did. And I reached out to her. And we showed that video. We didn't identify the boy. But my goodness.
Oh, really, it's hard to hear that.
It really
that
got to a lot
crying.
Of people. And it got to me. It got to me.
Yeah,
but
me too.
You know, there just wasn't great communication. The school districts and the teachers and the administrators, they're all feeling their way through this, too, because it's new to everybody. And we interview an assistant superintendent with Rockwood Schools, and she said, of course, these first 2 weeks are a feel-out period. We're not racing anybody, and, you know, this breaks our heart to know that this boy struggled like that. So I think things are getting better, you know, every day.
Well, look,
go ahead.
I'm in Rockwood as well, and what I found today after conversations is that they're huddling because they realize, and I think there was a little bit of, what that parent posted on Facebook was, hey, Rockwood, and I think that other school districts, maybe this was done, maybe it wasn't. How about maybe a week of here's how this is going to work before here's what's going to happen, right? Because I was unclear. I mean, I didn't know until this afternoon how all of this, you know, I finally had a conversation one-on-one with my daughter's teacher about how all of this was really supposed to work in the morning, because all that kindergarten has been for me this week is four Zoom calls, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, well, five, because we've done five in the mornings, but she's unable to be on the ones at 12:30. And then you have these Canvas lessons, which we couldn't log on to for a couple of days. We had some technical problems with that. We finally got on. But, you know, as I'm sitting there watching some of them with her last night, here's a perfect example. So there was a time when we're watching on my computer the video with math, and they said you're supposed to have a couple of things like your counting cube or something like that. I'm like, what count? Where's
okay,
that come
that?
From? Well, then I asked the teacher, and what the deal is on the iPad that my daughter has, there's a bunch of little apps, and there are things that tools on the computer on the iPad that she can use. The problem is you can't use those at the same time that you're looking at the module.
Right.
So you actually right. So and how they expect 5 year olds to know some of this stuff, or even kids that are older. But Andy, talk a little bit about
parents.
The reaction, because as you said, you've gotten reaction from around the country, because I think that this is just a perfect example of what's repeating itself in bedrooms and living rooms all across America right now.
Well, and even locally, and it's hard to judge because it's somewhat anecdotal. I think the people who identify with this family most are going to reach out and comment and call or email me. But there does seem to be a growing groundswell, especially locally, among parents who are just demanding of their public officials to get the kids back into school. They're as worried about the emotional and psychological struggles that their kids are facing right now as they are about COVID-19.
And you know what? I underestimated
that, Andy. No, those are fair questions and fair points. I'm a father of three, and I've been blessed. I'm not facing any of this. I have one kid who's going in person. I've got one virtual at home, and the other one's at Mizzou. And we're doing okay, especially because they haven't had to ask mom or dad for help. You know, they've been fairly independent through it all, but it weighs on parents too, especially with your younger ones. I can't imagine a kindergartner or first, second, third, fourth, fifth. You know, I think once a kid gets to seventh and eighth grade, it's a little bit different ball game, but school matters so much. And especially, you know, kids that love it and can't wait to get back, and you know, it wasn't just Rockwood. Monday I did a story in Granite City, and it was a 12-year-old boy and his dad. You know, they were having fits, the same thing, on the very first day of school. He's missing parts of the first three classes, can't log on, and can't get – they had a hotline for tech trouble, and you couldn't get through because it was flooded, and hours went by. He said he made more than 150 calls to the helpline before he got through. 150.
No, that would send me over the edge. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, I think I underestimated this whole psychological, you know, when we did it last semester, it was toward the end of the school year. Everything was shut down all over the country. People, you know, that was one thing. That was like sort of, okay, well, we cut the year off a little bit. But this, I think, is really hitting people. And so I underestimated it. And after seeing that story, I thought, oh, but for the grace, you know, of God, go I. My kids are older. I've got one in college and one in high school. And I just think, how frustrating would that be? And as a child, you want direct feedback from your teacher saying, okay, help me. Yeah. I mean, let's fix this. And you have no one to talk to. You have no one. And,
well, you know one of the examples, Jane, that I can offer is we have, okay, Alexa's 5 years old. So in order to get this to be as interactive as possible, she's supposed to watch a lesson, and then you can press, and again, the software is kind of cool. So you can press a button and record your thoughts into the camera, and then that gets sent to the teacher, right? Well, here's the problem. This kid, if she was in the room with you, Jane, you've met Alexa. She's, you know, energetic and lively, and she's not shy at all. But when that camera goes on, when I try to take a picture of her, try to take a video, or when I asked her last night to do this, it's just not something. So what am I going to do? Yell at her for not wanting to do a reaction into the camera? I can't do that. You know, that's impossible. So, look, it's a tough situation.
Another issue, I think, is that it was so back and forth. I mean, you know, it was kind of down to the wire. Are we going in person? Are we doing hybrid? Are we staying home? And districts
so prep was bad.
Were leaning one way and then switched back sort of at the last minute. I remember covering those stories, too, and I think everyone was kind of just everyone and everything was – they're all just so in flux that
it was a cavalcade.
Caught people off guard. I think maybe we had a little sense of security because of the last – couple of months in the spring, and I remember issues then that we reported on, but nothing like we've seen this first week of school. I mean, this has been extreme.
All right, well, we got to get to Andy. I appreciate coming on here and keep us posted on any other updates.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Yeah, Jane, the Cardinals are playing the Cleveland baseball team tonight. The team from Cleveland, the baseball team from Cleveland. I got to be careful. I mean, it's 2020. I say something wrong, then canceled.
The mob.
Mark Reardon canceled. Yeah, the mob will come after me. Hey, by the way, speaking of the mob comes after people. This is kind of interesting because there's a woman who hit me up on Twitter because she saw me reference my daughter's name, which is Alexa. As you know, that's also the Google assistant, whatever
you
want to call it.
Well, every time you say
it goes off in your room, right? Yeah, so we don't like that very much. So this woman's really hacked off, and she's got like a petition, so they'll change the name, which I don't think they're going to do. But I bring it up because do you know the differences between, you know, this is going to be an educational segment here, between the Beckys and the Karens, and there's even the Stacys as well. Are you all up to speed on that stuff?
I'm only familiar with the Karens. I've been called a Karen for some reason, probably because I'm old.
I'm gonna walk you through this. Yeah, I wasn't sure on a Stacy too, but this is the new shorthand, and you have viral videos of Karens, like the woman in, you know, Central Park with the dog who was afraid of the black guy.
Yeah.
Right. But Karen, I've gotten emails from people. So when all this started and I started saying Karen on the air, I would get emails from angry women named Karen, like I came up and did it. It wasn't me. I didn't come up with this, all right? So blame the person who who gave you the moniker. Now, my wife is a Becky, right? She's a Rebecca,
right?
But she goes by Becky.
So now they're going after Becky.
I call her Beck. apparently. So Karen is, this is dictionary.com. Karen is a generic name that's common among middle-aged women. It was one of the top five most popular baby names from 1957 to 1966. Jane, you could have been a Karen. You easily could have been a Karen. It peaked at number three in the year that we were born, 1965. Yep. Karen is also the Danish form of Catherine, which is popularly associated with the Greek word for pure. However, the meaning of Karen has evolved over recent years. Record of the insult Karen appears as early. When would you say, by the way? I thought this was like just this year, but apparently it goes back to 2016. And it doesn't just refer to, any middle-aged white woman. The popularization of Karen as an insult has been credited to Black Twitter in the 2010s, and it typically refers to a woman who fits the stereotype of an aggressive, racist, minivan-driving white mom. Your typical Karen has a speak-to-the-manager haircut. That's a variation of a blunt blonde bob. Karens are the types to complain to the manager about anything and everything and become the subject of memes as well as viral videos. Okay, so then Becky, yes. Like Karen, Becky follows the trend of a first name being used to generalize a certain type of person. Again, we're talking a white woman here, of course. However, Becky's aren't middle-aged, ignorant, and aggressive white moms. No. They are typically younger white women who are unaware or take advantage of their privilege. Becky's, you see, Jane, are the new Valley girls. It's, just a woman who's unaware of her white privilege, acting racist. Becky is also used to mock basic young women who love their pumpkin spice, Ugg boots, and social media photos. The key to this stereotype is that Becky's are basic, completely unoriginal, and mainstream. All right, then you got Stacy. You know Stacy at all?
Yeah, what did Stacy do?
I just know Stacy's mom. I'm not. So apparently, this is a pejorative slang for a woman as well. The origin of Stacy is obscure. It may come from Antasia or Eustace. What? Okay. Stacy reached peak popularity in the 1970s and 80s and can be spelled Stacy and Stacy. I don't care about any of that. Stacy is now used as a stereotype for an attractive woman who is vain, rude, and only interested in sex.
Whoa.
Who knew?
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. Stacy's are sexually active and looked down upon for it. So just keep that in mind.
So Stacy's are the tramps? They're calling Stacy's tramps. I mean,
yes.
Okay. Wow.
Basically.
Wow. Basically. I'm glad I'm just plain Jane.
Did that help you out at all there? Because
it's very confusing. Really up to speed on my Urban Dictionary. So this is good. I knew about the Karens. What do we call the millennials? I want to come up a name for these millennials who think that everything is free and they live in their parents' basement and only their feelings matter. I'd like to have a name for that, not just millennial. Maybe we need to come up with a name for that.
Don't you think those numbers are going to keep growing, especially the basement-dwelling kids?
Yeah, apparently. But, I mean, we need a name for them. I mean, as long as we're giving out names, we need to call them, I don't know, do you call them Britneys? Like, what's a new name? What was the most popular name for the millennials? We need to research that and come up with what we need to call these basement dwellers.
I like that. We'll have to nuance that just a little bit.
You know, they call us boomers.
Well,
like, we're boomers.
We're not, but you and I don't technically fit that, do we?
Technically,
yeah.
Right. But anybody that's older is a boomer. An okay boomer, right. You know, if you're not like, you know, tech savvy and whatever, they make fun of us. And that's fine, but we should be able to make fun of them. So we need to come up with a name for them.
I thought I was pretty tech savvy until I tried to navigate kindergarten in the Rockwood School District, and then that assured me that I was not very tech savvy at all, although there were some
technical problems. Tell me that St. Louis County, the police board, who formerly used Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
That they got hijacked and hacked and then they streamed porn. So I always think about that when I press on Zoom to get on these calls on Friday. I think, okay, who is going to hack Zoom and then stream porn on our show?
Well, and then I know you went off on our friend Wesley Bell, too, because now I have maybe mixed feelings on this because they were trying to update the technology. They spent, $100,000 on iPads and things like that. Was that completely out of order considering what we're going through right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the county counselor's office has these nice little computers that they use, and it's actually compatible with filing documents in court. these iPads were just a boondoggle. So they can do Zoom on an iPad, but they can't file documents in court and do all that. And so, and then the iPads, $100,000 of iPads is one thing. Everybody got new iPhones. Okay. They got 70-inch computer monitors. Like, who needs that? And then they said they want big screen TVs in the hallway when everybody is, you know, at home. They only have four or five people at the office. So why do you need big screen TVs when everybody's supposed to stay in their office and not get sick? Why would you buy those for COVID? I mean, if people are out of the office, you don't need the in-office big screen televisions all over the hallways. So yeah, I think it was a little much. I think anybody who works there, the people who work there, they will tell you it was nonsense. And so, I mean, that's something that, you know, when they tell you it's silly, then you got a problem. And I also heard that this all the purchases were actually made before COVID. So they were just trying to shoehorn it into COVID because there was a pot of money sitting around, which yeah, I'm not a big figure. Fan of. Yeah, right.
344 right. At the Voice of St. Louis. Jane, we do this every Friday when there is a Friday, and we're here on this Friday. So let's do a little musical history. Number one songs this day in history.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday. Flashback. Number one songs of the 70s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Reardon on KMOX.
You know what's interesting? The first two songs on this list, when I started in music radio at the 10-watt powerhouse KYMC on Clayton Road right by Parkway West in 1981, I'm guessing. I could never really pin it down, but I'm going to say 81, early 81, so I'm approaching 40 years in radio. We played hit music. We played some what would be referred to as adult contemporary music, and these next two songs I played quite a bit. 1970, this was number one. I think it was, wasn't it David Gates and Bread? Am I getting that right? Remember this song?
Yeah.
I want to make it with you.
Great song.
Klein, I bet this is one of your favorites when you're pulling this.
This is
all
bad.
Wasn't even born.
This is bad.
Yeah.
No judging, Klein.
I want to make it. Well, how about this, though, from 19? Because I played so many of these songs. Christopher, remember Christopher Cross? He had that one big album,
yeah.
And we played all his songs like ad nauseum. This was number one on this date in 1980. Christopher Cross. Chris Cross, Sailing.
Man,
you know what I would do in the intro to this? I'd say, hey, Chris Cross and Sailing with you on Y98 FM. I didn't work at Y98.
Don't like that
there
song.
You go. They might still play that. 1990. Mariah Carey was number one. Kind of like this one.
I do too.
Yeah, this is when Mariah Carey
She's
was
got a good
basically,
voice.
I think, busting out there. 2000, I do not know the name of this band, but I think I might know the song. Let's see here. It's Cisco. Is that right, Dave?
He was famous for the thong song, Mark.
This guy was famous for the thong song?
Oh, yeah.
Well, was it
I
better?
Think I
like
thong song
this?
Better.
Yeah, I think I liked it a lot better. We'll fast forward 10 years to 2010, 10 years ago.
Just gonna stand there.
Great song.
Now, Rihanna, Love the Way You Lie, number one 10 years ago. And right now, it's Cardi B that's number one.
I said certified free, 7 days a week.
Is there going to be bleeping?
I don't know what I can say to that.
Okay.
I pulled 11 seconds of that for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been
a couple
of songs where I've liked Cardi when she's been on some other songs, and she's a bit of a character, but that I don't get it. I cannot
Her Twitter feed is out of control. I mean, it is not safe for work, but her Twitter feed is off the chain. I mean, she really is unique on Twitter. So if you're
Let
looking
me
for
make
can't
my
be sensitive.
Musical recommendation. My musical recommendation of the week, it actually came out a week ago today, The Killers' new record, Imploding the Mirage, one of their best in a long time, including a blistering guitar solo on Caution by the one and only Lindsey Buckingham. It was my understanding Lindsey Buckingham was going to tour with him just a little bit as well, which is disappointing. Jane, you have a great week. We will talk next Friday as we head into the holiday weekend. We'll get your cut of the day and traffic coming up next on KMOX.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store Pain Relief and Comfort to fit any budget. Last night, after the announcement, well, it was the speech by the president at the White House, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky was going back to his hotel surrounded by a group of protesters. I just read an NPR story about how peaceful everyone was. Didn't look very peaceful, and Senator Paul didn't think so either.
You know, we came out of the speech
at the White House.
We looked into the street. Our hotel was only right across the street from the White House, but we couldn't go because the mob was already chasing people down that chose to go out that exit. So the Secret Service says, get on a bus and ride to the Trump Hotel. So we got on a bus. It took 45 minutes to get through all the mobs. We get there safely, and then we say we'll get an Uber to go all the way back where we came from, and we wanted to be dropped off at the hotel. But as we got close to it, the streets were blocked, and no one would let us through. And what happened is there was two blocks, and I regret that I made this decision, but I said we're going to walk the two blocks. We walked one block. But as we walked one block, we could see some police in the distance, but we also saw a mob of about 30 people marching and yelling. They all of a sudden saw me right as we got to the policeman, fortunately, or I don't think we'd have survived. We got to the policeman, and the policeman, I don't think, recognized me. And as they came closer, they were shouting my name, and the crowd doubled to 60, and then it doubled again to 120. And as they were surrounding us, and it got closer and closer, and everybody kept pushing back, the policemen were forming a barricade with their bodies. I whispered to the policeman, they know who I am. You've got to get reinforcements. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, it could have gotten really bad. And by the way, they're yelling at him about Breonna Taylor from Louisville. He's from Kentucky. He's the guy who introduced a bill called Justice for Breonna Taylor that would ban no-knock warrants, which I completely support and have for a long time, like Rand Paul. So the protesters may want to do a little homework on some of this stuff every once in a while. The peaceful protesters. Total Information PM is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.